Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
On location from the Browns Foundation Golf Tournament, we are here in Aurora. And it's been a fun day so far. Now, my partner, the guy, the other voice you usually hear on this show, you will hear him. His name is Nathan Zagura, as you well know. He's out in the golf course. He got pulled into a foursome that I believe had Vince Young in its foursome. Well, Vince Young, of course, not in that foursome because he is, by all accounts, not going to be on the Browns this year. And Nathan Zagura steps in as the foursome. Nathan Zagura, for those who might not know, is a tremendous golfer. I know he's a tremendous driver. I believe he's like a scratch golfer. I have not seen him golf yet. I was counting on that today, but a lot of show prep stuff and other things got in the way, and I still haven't seen him swing a club. But from what I understand, he is dynamite, and he will tell you so. Anyway, we're going to hear from Nathan in a little bit, but right now we're getting this thing kicked off, and we're excited. At 1:15, so about 15 or so minutes from now, you're going to hear from the owner of the Browns, Jimmy Haslam. We had a chance to sit down with him exclusively to talk about the draft, to talk about, of course, Johnny Manziel, to get the big picture take from the boss of the Browns. And he'll join us, as I said, in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to run that interview. We did it before he took off for an appearance in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Want to hear from you, as always, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Those barks, those growls from the pound. Also, tweet us at Browns_daily. We want to be sure we hear from you and weigh in, because we really haven't had a chance to get reaction. Friday was such a whirlwind. Friday was day two of the draft, but really day one of the introduction of the new picks. And, of course, Johnny Manziel dominating that discussion. He's going to dominate pretty much every Browns discussion between now, we know, and the start of the season, to be sure. So we did that on Friday, and we also had the Justin Gilbert interview, and we just didn't have a lot of reaction from you because there wasn't time. We had so many other things going on. So reaction is going to be big today. And as I promised you, I said Nathan Zagura would come flying in off the golf course because he was pulled into that foursome. Number one, how did you do out there?
Good. It was a great success. They were even par at the time I joined them. We were together for five holes. We're now four under par,
see,
which is good. And I edged out J.W. Johnson right now for the long drive. So here we go.
What was the estimated distance on that drive?
It was a 495-yard par four. We had about 190 left, so about 305.
Nice. I'm touting your golf skills on this show. You're scratch, and you kill it on the drives. But I haven't witnessed this. I want to see for myself. So perhaps after
it worked out good. And let me just tell you something.
All right,
I love you so much. It is hard to run off the golf course, but for you, Notorious, and because it's my job.
Yeah,
I will do that.
Maybe
but I was
that
out there
should
with
be
clients.
Number one.
I was
but
out
I appreciate
there
with
clients. You know, I was out there. You know, trying.
Yeah,
to
you were
help
schmoozing.
Out.
You were hug. You were shaking hands, kissing babies.
Did you let people know how a spot opened up for me?
I established the Vince Young omission and the Nathan Zagura fill in the slot.
Now I just got to get to throw the ball a little bit around. You know, maybe
so,
we'll see what happens.
Look, it's been a fun few days, a crazy busy few days. We've been at this thing nonstop since we got to New York and then pretty much took a little bit of a breather yesterday. But it sinks in now, and as I'm mentioning that we're going to have Jimmy Haslam join us in a little bit from the interview we did earlier, the enthusiasm, the euphoria carries forward, and I think that's okay for now. But I also think there's a sense of perspective, and obviously counterbalanced with the report of Josh Gordon. But where are you now as far as your feelings? Because I know you were jumping out of your chair on Thursday night.
How's your arm?
My right shoulder's still sore. You punched me many times in joy, but I'm recovering. But my point is, how are you with rectifying the whole idea that Johnny Manziel and the draft as a whole, great news. Bad news is the potential that this team's got to fill its biggest spot. The hole of its most talented player. I don't know if it's its biggest spot under the new configuration, but go from there.
No, they addressed their biggest needs in the draft. And all along, you know, we talked about the plan that they had, and it was a plan that was implemented without question. The knowledge of the Josh Gordon pending deal, as it were, was there. It did not alter the plans when they went through this draft. So this is going to be a team that's going to be built on defensive toughness. They addressed the biggest holes on defense. Number two corner, inside linebacker, boom, they got those. On offense, you brought in a guard, which we needed, a nice run-blocking, nasty man in Joel Bitonio. You got another running back they love in Terrence West. They addressed that part of it. Obviously, quarterback, we said, was a huge need. It was addressed as well. That is an outfit, ladies and gentlemen, walking by us, the great Dustin Fox. That is an outfit as he walks by us here at the Cleveland Browns Foundation golf outing. But I'm happy. Overall, I'm happy. Would I be happier if we weren't dealing with any Josh Gordon rumors? Obviously, exponentially happier. I love Flash Gordon. I don't think that I can change the fact about how much I love Flash Gordon, and I do. It's a bummer, no question. But overall, when you look at some of the changes in the National Football League, you look at the fact that in 2012, with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins, they went to the playoffs despite losing their number one receiver, Pierre Garçon, for the bulk of the year due to an injury. No receiver over 750 yards on that team. Last year, Carolina, no receiver over 750 yards, and they're the number two seed in the best conference in football, the NFC. So there are models out there that prove that this can work even without Josh Gordon. Would I like to have him? Yes. Would I be feeling a heck of a lot better? Yeah, I think we're talking about Oju pickup trucks, you know what I'm saying, if we have Josh Gordon. Yes. So I'm reserving judgment on the overall assessment of the wide receiver position until we see the moves. One guy that I've got my eye on is a developmental guy that I'm excited about, and I know the team's excited about, is Charles Johnson. If you guys don't remember, he was signed off the Green Bay practice squad, where he had been their practice squad player of the week 6 weeks in a row, despite playing on a torn ACL, which is pretty incredible to me. He's gotten that worked on. 6'3", 215, runs a 4.3, 840. Is he going to be Josh Gordon? No, but for those of you who wondered why they maybe didn't get that developmental wide receiver in the draft, I think they feel like they have one. Mm-hmm. Trades are possible. If we've been talking about all morning, right, there's a possibility with some free agents out there. They're going to address the position, and then we'll know exactly how we feel about it when it's all said and done.
And just so people know, that the Browns are going to be tweeting several roster moves, the additions of undrafted free agents.
And I'm excited about a few of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, names are out there and have been reported. We know the wide receiver position being addressed in that area, the quarterback position as well, according to reports. But I think we're going to get the official lowdown before this show. We hope before this show is over to get that. So Renee Harvey, by the way, Vice President of the Browns Foundation, who is here, is going to join us at 1:45. So much of the sound from Ray Farmer after the draft. He did a tremendous job of breaking things down into Saturday night. It was actually pretty late Saturday night, and I sat and heard that, and we've got some interesting sound that maybe a lot of people might not have picked up on because it was late Saturday night, but we've got that to go into. We're going to do the three topics with three-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry, our usual Monday feature, at 2:30, and then we'll hopefully be getting some players off the golf course that will sprint to this set with the same exuberance that you showed.
That's right. The gusto, as it were. Yeah, it was. I had a good time out there for my brief time on the links, but happy to be alongside you here. And I think this is an exciting time if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. I understand some of the air was let out of the balloon with the Josh Gordon news, but overall, when you look at what they've done and the philosophy that they are trying to implement, this draft took a long step towards cementing that. And there's a very good chance, because Josh Gordon's an offensive side of the ball thing, and as you pointed out, and this isn't to knock Josh Gordon, but with all the yards that we had last year and all the greatness that we had with Josh Gordon last year, it was still a 4-12 team. And if you look at Calvin Johnson, he was on the team that ended up picking first in the NFL in Detroit when the year they got Matt Stafford. I want Josh Gordon here more than anything. It would make me very happy, but this is a league where defense, I think, ultimately allows you to cover up for deficiencies on offense. If you have a deficient defense, you're going to have a tough time in this league, and I feel that they put their stamp on this team in terms of the toughness, the additions on defense with Justin Gilbert, Pierre Desir at corner, who I'm thrilled about that picks, and then Christian Kirksey, the linebacker, they think can come in and hopefully be a starter right away.
I won't for a second try to suggest that the Browns are a better team without Josh Gordon.
No,
that's not even close to reality. Anyone who sort of thinks that now would be foolish. Okay.
He's one of the best. I think he's one of the 10 best players in the league.
He's certainly a great football player. But here's where I am. The word model gets thrown around very loosely. Going to follow the Seattle model. Going to follow this model, that model. Those terms get thrown around loosely. The fact that the NFL is described as a passing league gets thrown around loosely. There's ample support to say that numbers are produced in greater quantity than before. Teams have greater success with top quarterbacks, all of that. But here's where I am on this topic. I think there's a lot of validity to the base plan, and you've got to have one of those, that Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine put together irrespective of Josh Gordon. Josh
Correct.
Gordon was part of a plan that was going to dramatically shift the focus of this football team from throwing it all over the place, throwing to set up the run, throwing pretty much foundationally to do everything, and put it in the hands more of a defense and then build a team that helps support that side. And how do you do that offensively? You run the ball well.
Right.
And clearly, if the statement last year was the Browns were giving up on the running game as the Trent Richardson trade to Indianapolis underscored, and you saw other evidence of that just in how they tried to replace him or didn't replace him, how the running back situation was put together. If that statement was that, the statement now with the addition of Ben Tate and now the drafting of Terrence West and trading into the third round to do that, a highly regarded player who will compete for the starting job at the very least and could see as many carries as Tate does. Those make statements, and then the toughness of a Joel Bitonio added at right guard, I think they make overwhelming statements about how this team believes it can win, and I'm telling you, they felt that way pre-Josh Gordon's the announcement or reports, I should say, because we haven't gotten an announcement yet on Gordon's status. I'm pessimistic about Gordon's status for the Browns. I'm not sitting here feeling good that he's going to play for this team this season. And I'm feeling concerned. I know there's been a variety of reports that say it's 16 games and then Peter King putting out 8 games. I think that it could be. I don't think he was saying definitively. He said 8 to 16. I think everything is pointing to this guy missing a lot of time, and I'm more leaning toward it being a full season thing. And I'll also add this. Privately, players on this football team are extremely upset with Josh Gordon, and they should be.
They feel let down. They feel let down. The sense that I got is they feel let down. There's a lot of disappointment. There's some anger. And there's a little surprise as well, because I think many of the players had the sense that I had, and I believe you had as well, that Josh Gordon had matured and had put some of those things behind him, some of those concerns behind him. And to have this report of to the contrary was disappointing. And there is some anger, because I think this was a team that really had a sense of how good they were able to be with him and losing him. If you're going to say that, yes, I know that there is the Seattle model, as you said, and there is the Carolina model, and I'll tell you the stats about what Washington did with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator going to playoffs without a receiver at 750 yards. The bottom line is this football team is significantly better with 12 on the field. Period. End of story.
There is no argument with that. So even if you're going to run the football and play strong defense, having that playmaker is key. And by the way, if Johnny Manziel is going to realize the most of what he can give you, whether he's playing as a rookie or in his second year or whenever it is that he's fully the guy in charge, and I'm inclined to believe that that's going to happen much sooner rather than later and probably likely the first game of the season, I'll go that far to say that right now, but I'm going to reserve until we see how everything else unfolds, but that's where I think it's going. He needs that guy to help him, even if he's not throwing the number of passes that this team, percentage-wise, that this team threw a year ago with 3 quarterbacks.
Matt Stafford is an established starter in the National Football League, and I don't know if you remember the game against Green Bay this past season when Calvin Johnson was a late scratch for that game. Their offense was anemic, and that was a team that had plenty of weapons on offense outside of Calvin Johnson, and right. When he went out of that game, their offense really sputtered. Now, the Browns, I think, are built to be a little bit more physical than that team was, and
right.
That's how they're going to try to compensate. But yes, it's obvious. This is a better football team with Josh Gordon on the field. What he makes a defense have to adjust to, react to, and prepare for is different than anybody on this roster right now. The truth of the matter is, though, I believe this position wholeheartedly, I believe this position will be addressed in some form or fashion, whether it be a veteran free agent, whether it be a trade, as we go on this offseason. They're going to get somebody to play that outside position, because I don't think the guys that are on the roster now, if Josh Gordon, if we're treating it like he's an injured guy out for the year, I don't think there's anybody that can just kind of step up and fill that role.
And the thing that I don't accept, is that the draft was somehow poorly handled in light of the Gordon news. I don't agree with that at all. I think the plan as it was executed extremely well. I think the high grades that so many were willing to give Ray Farmer on the first night of the draft applied through the rest of the draft. As many as four starters could come out of this group, and they're coming at positions like cornerback, like right guard, like inside linebacker, and of course we've talked about the franchise quarterback and Johnny Manziel eventually taking that starting spot, and then you see Terrence West, and what a strong contributor he'll be. That's five players, and then we talked about Dazier at cornerback providing depth at that position, and certainly going to see his share of playing time, I'm sure, in nickel situations. So I think this was a good draft, a sound draft, a solid draft, and if you were confident, as I am, in the job that was done there, I'm going to maintain confidence that Ray Farmer and his staff can find the help at receiver. You're not finding another Josh Gordon, no matter what you did. And if you didn't like that they didn't get a receiver in the second round, you still were kidding yourself if you thought that player, a player in that round, was going to be Josh Gordon. I'll go as far as to say, as I'm not going to put that label on Sammy Watkins, as highly touted as he is. I would not have given up what Buffalo gave up to get that guy. That's my opinion, but that's where I am on this. So I look at it as, I think what the Browns have done is sound. I don't think the work is done yet, and I think Ray Farmer laid that out perfectly. All right, a conversation coming up next with the owner of the Browns, Jimmy Haslam. Nathan Zagura and I sitting down with him a short while ago. We are broadcasting from Aurora from the Browns Foundation Golf Tournament, and we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.